So, it's school holidays, and school holidays means that all the kids are joining with us today, and all the youth who are always here, and I don't know how to do tons of things, but by doing youth groups, I know how to run games. So, one of the themes that we, I might call you up in a second, but you just, yeah, there you go, good job. Yeah, there are lollies here, which is why all the children are flocking. should I cover them? No, there we go. So one of the themes in the sermon today is competition. And I think that's one of the things we're going to look at in a second, but I thought maybe we'd practice maybe a bit of healthy competition to begin with. So I do need some people of different age brackets, and I'll need four people. So if I could grab one of the youth, could one of the youth go on, Jack, come on up? Brilliant. Okay, now maybe someone, yeah, sure, one of you three. You can paper, scissors, rock, sit out between you. Yeah. Okay, yep, do some, yep, paper, scissors, rock. Okay, both paper, scissors, rock. Ah, there we go. All right, we have our champion. Come on up. All right, do you want to line up here next to Jack? Fabulous. All right, can we have someone maybe like, I don't know, under 45-ish? You don't have to be 100%. Everyone, there's so many. Go on. There are lollies. Oh, yeah, there we go. Brilliant. Come on up. Woo! Round of applause. And then someone above that. You don't have to say how much. That's fine. Go on. Anyone? No one. Oh, there we go. Brilliant. Thank you very much. All right. We have our champions. Brilliant. All right. So before I explain the game, I might just go along. If we could line up along this way so everyone can see you. Fantastic. And we're just going to, can you just introduce yourself and maybe tell us how good you are at using chopsticks?
I'm Joanne. I'm pretty useless at using chopsticks. And, yeah, I hope that you're better at it, Joanne.
Thanks, Joanne. Yes, I'm Joanne. And I'm just awesome at using chopsticks because my husband told me I was really bad. And then I asked some Chinese friends and they said I was really good, so I must be good.
I'm Jack and I am terrible at using chopsticks, so.
I'm Hannah and I don't know how to use them.
Okay. Awesome. Okay, cool. So, although this is a competition, it is a little bit of teamwork as well. So, as you can see, we've got some lollies in these little plastic containers here. And actually, I'm going to give you all one chopstick, right? Okay, which I know is not necessarily, but, okay. Oh no, there we go. Brilliant. So, the aim of this game is to use a bit of teamwork. So, if you guys could, actually, if we could get Joanne and Hannah this side, and Jack and Joanne this side, and I will open up a packet of these lollies each, and what you guys need to do, I'm going to give you some time on a timer, I might start with 30 seconds, and then we might see if anyone else gains a bit of confidence and might want to jump up, and what you need to do in this time is each of you have got one chopstick, and you need to work together using your chopsticks to move the lollies in these containers to a plate next to the container, all right? There we go. I'll move these away. So it's whoever can get the most lollies onto the plate in the 30 seconds that I'm going to give you the time for, okay? So you can have a little time for strategy. Does anyone think of a strategy that maybe they should use? Should they stab them and try and do them one inch? Should they try and work together to lever it? Yeah? Any ideas? Lever it? Yeah? Yeah? Work together. Yes. Oh, there might be some idea coming out. Okay, sweet. Sweet. All right, do we think we have a plan? Do you both have a plan? I won't get you to say it because you might give it away. You have a strategy? All right, okay, so chopsticks on the table. I don't want any false starting here. Okay, are you ready?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1, go. Maybe a bit of cheering. Pick a team, pick a friend that you want to cheer for. Youth group, you know how to cheer for people. Jack's got a bit of support, maybe. All right, cool. I reckon that's about 10 seconds gone, maybe 20 seconds left. Oh, I mean, I'm going to fill you in. It's 3 on each plate at the moment, so this is a very close game. All right. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, stop. Time's up. All right, everyone who's not playing the game, do you want to step over to the side here? And then, all right, so over here, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 Coca-Cola bottles, and over here we have 5 sour worms. So I think we've got a bit of a clear winner. A round of applause, everyone, for Hannah and Joanne. Woohoo! All right, thank you guys. You can grab a seat. Jack, we'll practice this at youth group, hey? Yeah. Cheers. Should we practice it at Marsden as well? All right. And then you have an idea now of how to play it. Brilliant. Cool. Awesome. Well, thanks for joining in, guys. That doesn't have tons to do with my sermon, but, you know, just thought it might be a fun way to start. And it's competition. And I think that is one of the two really clear things that came up in our reading today. It was about Cain and Abel. And when I was first asked to talk about this, I wasn't really sure how to make this kind of a kids-friendly, all-age sermon. It kind of talks about the first murder in the Bible, and it's not that kid-friendly, I didn't think. But sibling rivalry, I think, is something that that kids and all of us can kind of get our head around. So that's one of the ideas that we kind of see, is this idea of competition, rivalry, and working against each other, rather than living in this harmony that God has for us. One of the other ideas that comes out in this reading is the idea of giving our best for God. I was really confused, I guess, the first time when I read through this reading about why God was quite so harsh on Cain. They both kind of gave these equal offerings. They both gave an offering to God. And for some reason, and I couldn't kind of see it in the reading, why God accepted one offering and didn't accept the other one. And so I did what I think most people, at least of my age group, do. I Googled it. I tried to figure out why, what could there be a reason. I figured there'd be scholars and theologians who had thought about this. And I was right, and we came across a bunch of ideas. And one of these ideas was that, I'm not sure if we fully got it, but in the reading I have here, it says, "In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, and Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock." And so what we hear there is this idea of bringing your best and your first for God, which is what Abel did. He brought the best kind of fattened lamb. He brought the first and the biggest. And Cain kind of brought some of the leftovers of his harvest. He kind of brought a little bit of what he had, and it even said, in the course of time. So he didn't even do it necessarily at the beginning. He kind of got to the end of the harvest and gave whatever was left over. I think it's been a really interesting week for me in kind of preparing this sermon. It's been a bit of an up and down kind of week. And I actually am kind of personally invested in England winning the World Cup. Because my grandfather is in hospital in the UK at the moment, and the only thing he wakes up for at the moment is to watch England play football, and he's very engaged. So at the moment, it's kind of been quite an intense week for our family, but the fact that Granddad is kind of holding on to see England win the World Cup is something I'm kind of quite invested in. We're going over at Christmas, so I guess he might get all the way through if England wins the World Cup. So keep him in your prayers and keep England in your prayers. But in reading this, reading and in preparing for this sermon, it's just been a busy week. And I was really personally challenged by this idea of giving my best and my first for God. Because I wasn't really feeling in the mood to do heaps of reading or heaps of understanding and pulling apart or even writing a sermon. I kind of procrastinated a little bit. It took me a while to get around to it because I didn't really feel like I had much to give to it, let alone give my best. But this challenge of giving my best for God really resonated with me this week. And I think that's a really good challenge to keep in mind for all of us, that when life gets really busy and then lots is happening and lots is going on and lots of people want things from us, that it's still really important to turn and give our best and our first to God, because he's going to resource what we need to do for the rest of it. And it was kind of hard to try to change that mindset. It was very difficult because there were still things I had to do. It doesn't stop me needing to do things, but it means it changed my mindset about coming to God first, giving my best to him, and then letting the rest sit where it does. But that's what God calls for us to do, is to give our best, and that's what Abel does in this reading, and what kind of lots of people throughout the Bible continue to do is turn and give their best to God first. It's called sacrifice for a reason. An offering and a sacrifice, it's got to cost us something. And sometimes that'll cost us in our energy or in our time or our resources, but giving our best and our first to God is really important, and it's what he calls for. The second thing we see is this idea of competition, why we did this game. I kind of resonate a little bit. I'm a very competitive person. I played lots of sport growing up and kind of still do, but I think my dad always used to turn up to lots of my games and he'd be like, just try your best, do whatever you can, have fun, as long as you win. And that was something I got from my dad a lot. And even at uni, he turned up to my netball games and stuff and would say that to me even then. But I think, you know, I'm a naturally bit of a competitive person. And this story kind of reminds me, because this is kind of two brothers who love each other and yet can still find opposition and rivalry when things go tough. And that idea of competition, I think, is something that really resonates. It reminded me of a specific netball game I played when I was at school. I was in one of the junior teams, and we were playing a senior team from our school. So it was the same school, kind of sibling rivalry, but to the maximum. It was kind of the younger siblings. We were in the junior team, and we were beating the senior team in this netball game. And I don't think that was sitting very well with the seniors. It started to get a bit tense, but netball is supposed to be a non-contact sport. I don't know if any of you have experienced the, otherwise. I certainly have. And I don't think I was innocent in this story. I want to clarify that to begin with. There was definitely a little bit of maybe elbowing and things like that from me. But the game did get quite tense at one point, and I fell over. And whoever I was playing against, I was a defender, which is the best position to be in. And one of the shooters kind of wound up and kicked me in my back as I was lying on the ground. And what we didn't know at the time, but later on we found out when I went to the hospital, is I'd broken three ribs in my back. And then the other defender from my team tackled her, and she played rugby as well, and drove her all the way off the court in this tackle on her shoulder to a bank that was on the side because we were playing outside. And then umpires and adults were rushing onto the court and blowing their whistles, and people were pushing each other, and we were from the same school. So it was quite embarrassing, I think, for all of the coaches who were sitting there. There was a very tense assembly that week as well about, you know, good Catholic school with good Christian morals, and we'd broken into this brawl on the netball court. I'd like to say I didn't really participate too much in the fight. I was mainly on the ground, but I may have participated in a bit of the beginning up to it and the leading up to it. But this idea of competition, I think, is something that I can resonate with. I get that. Like, it's, I think our culture is very competitive. It's, a lot of comparing. It's a lot of rivalry. It's a lot of placing people in opposition to us. And I think that's not what God has for us. We can see that in the first family, that God creates. He tries to create community and cooperation and harmony. And when Cain chooses to turn his back on that, and instead he chooses to be jealous and competitive and compare between him and his brother, it really changes the relationship that Cain has with God, that Cain has with the people around him. And he breaks down this unity that God has for us, that God who sacrificed and gave everything for us, and instead he chose to turn against the people around him. I think we often, in our society, we often look at the people around us and we compare to them and we place them in opposition to us. And it's a really easy thing to do. I'm not saying all competition is awful. I think, you know, sport when done healthily and all those things. But when we in life see people around us not as God sees them, that is, people to compare to or people to be different to, then I think there's a kind of brokenness in how God wants us to be in relationship with those around us. The Bible talks about this a lot, and I found a few times where I thought it really kind of summarized this really well. So in Philippians, it says, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. In 1 John, it says, no one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. In James, it says, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. This knowledge that competition and jealousy between us isn't what God is for, and isn't obviously what a lot of the teaching in the Bible is for, has to make us really change our mindset about that. Do we place people around us in rivalry or in competition? Do we see siblings or those around us as people we need to compete with, people we need to get ahead of instead of working alongside? Do we view the people around us as co-heirs with Christ, or do we view them as kind of competitors? I think it's a really hard concept to change your mind on, to try and change the thinking, because that's how everything works. In order to get ahead, you must let others go behind. And actually, instead of viewing people as equal and viewing people as people you work alongside and love, then we end up doing the same as what Cain does. We kind of turn the stuff in life that doesn't go our way and we compare it to how other people are going, and we become jealous. And like it says, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. So those are those two things I think we can take from that reading. The number one is, are we giving our first and our best to God in every area of our life? Is it easy to kind of give a bit of our time or a bit of our mindset, but are we giving our best and our first in every area of life, and even on those days where it's really tough and really long and you're really tired and you've got a million things to do, do you still stop and turn and give your best to God? And number two, is comparison and opposition from others getting in the way of our relationship with each other and our relationship with God? If God has created us to be in union and community and cooperation with each other, when we don't live into that, we are, like Cain, turning away from the unity that God has for us in our fullness of life. So yeah, just take some time to think on those two things. Where in your life might you not be giving your best and first to God? Where might you be a bit protective of certain things, of your time or of your future or of your job? And is comparison and opposition with others getting in the way of how you can live in the fullness of relationship with them and with God?